Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Do you kind of not like the word no? I mean, I think like growing up, we always heard that no. I think in general practice, we're going to chat a little bit about the power of no, because it is a complete sentence by our wonderful colleague and friend, Dr. Ingrid Pika. How are you, Dr. Pika?
Great. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here, Adam.
Oh, good to see you and good to hear from you. And to our listeners that are tuning in, a little bit of information about our wonderful friend. After seeing team after team struggle with staff morale, ain't that the truth? Hospital after hospital facing financial challenges and too many incredible veterinary professionals leaving the field disheartened or disenchanted, Dr. Ingrid Pika chose to be part of the change for better. She founded IBP Consulting Services to guide businesses and entrepreneurs to effective and profitable systems. And more recently, VetMatch to reduce burnout and bring like-minded veterinary professionals back together strong. Ingrid study understands the struggles that face our profession, having worked as an associate and relief veterinarian, owned her own practice, congratulations, as well as managing both corporate and nonprofit hospitals. She collaborates extensively with GPs, as well as house call, veterinary, and emergency practices, bringing together management, doctor, and support staff. And get a load of this, everyone. She's a two-time TEDx speaker and multi-award winning author. She now shares her experiences speaking and training veterinary communities around the world. And she's actively volunteers with animals and children focused organizations, and is the current president of Imagination Video Books, a nonprofit supporting literacy in vision and hearing impaired children around the world. I love that.
It's very empowering. It's just very, there's a lot of passion in that whole thing. So I'm excited. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing. It's wonderful. You know, one thing that I love being the host of this talk show and the podcast is the fact that I get to hear so many great stories and like the journey. And I know we have quite a few vet students that tune in and listen. And that, and I like to share your bios because it's so interesting and fascinating to see your journey on where you were then versus where you are now. And I just, that's a really great, really great journey you have there.
It certainly was not a path I had laid out, right?
It's, yeah.
You go to vet school, oh, I'm going to be a veterinarian. How many of us really understand what that means when we get right there? The wonderful thing, I always use the analogies that the Grand Canyon did not come with a blueprint. And guess what? It's still being evolved, right? So, and that's right, kind of when we take that to our lives. It's been a really, like you said, the journey has been incredible, and who knows where it still has yet to go.
Yeah, you got many chapters to continue to keep on writing in your journey there. And I love it. But there's one word that we hear often in vet med, and that is no. So, you know, learning when and how to say no is truly the essence of well-being, to my understanding. So talk to me a little bit more about what that means.
Well, it really is about self-empowerment and letting go of the guilt. I think especially those of us that are in veterinary medicine are there because we love to give. We feel it's our obligation to help. And that translates not only to our patient care, it also then goes over to when we're working with individuals as clients, coworkers, supervisors. We always are impelled to say yes. And what we end up doing with that is we put more and more and more on our shoulders, kind of like a backpack that you're overpacking. And then pretty soon you're getting heavier and heavier. And there's a point where we collapse until we learn to say no.
Yeah. How many of the times we say yes, like, yes, come on down, we can take care of that ear infection. Yes, we'll fit you in. Yes, I'll take care of the employee's pet that's vomiting. We'll fit you in the appointment. Mount that every day, day in and day out. And it's gotta be fatiguing, right? It has to be.
It totally is. In fact, I was speaking to a technician just yesterday about what does she do when, does she like multitasking? Does she like doing one thing after another? Or what is one of her biggest weaknesses? And she says, well, one of the biggest weaknesses, I guess, is that I keep saying yes. I says, okay, so what do you do when you get overwhelmed? And her response was, well, I guess I start prioritizing. What I was missing in that answer was her saying, I ask for help.
Yeah.
Or I say no.
Right. Yeah. And it is such an essence of your well-being. And I think the hard thing that many of our listeners and our colleagues do is we just don't have boundaries. I mean, I'm guilty as charged. I was so guilty of doing this. Yeah. I think so many out there are. And what are some things that we can do where we can say no, but also not be so, sometimes it can be confrontational with like the why, what do you mean, doc? So where do you draw that line?
I think we just have to look at the reality. And as a team, this is where it becomes a very powerful tool, establishing what are the goals. The more we are prepared and the more systems we have in place and role identification, who's responsible for which and what, and communicating and practice and training, the more we won't have to ask of each other that's not expected in the first place. So you said the word boundaries, Adam. I mean, that's a big one. When we establish the boundaries ahead of time, that preparedness, it's going to minimize when that avalanche coming in later. Obviously, yes, we are going to have certain circumstances where emergencies or urgencies or the unexpected happens. Someone calls out sick, an owner brings in an animal that's in crisis. That's a given.
Right.
The more we're prepared what to do when that happens, the better we are, and that communication. So let's tie that back to the prioritization we were alluding to before. Yeah, we do need to prioritize. Just like an emergency practice, you come and you got hit by a car that's got a pneumothorax, you'll take care of that one before you come in with a broken nail. Us recognizing and communicating that to the rest of the team is paramount in any kind of a success.
Do you think practices and veterinarians have gotten better with what you're talking about? Or do we still have a ways to go in your experience and what you're doing with consulting?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen market improvement. For one thing, we're hearing leaders listening. We're seeing the providers, which are the doctors, the technicians, the client service representatives, inventory. We're seeing them more open to learning and desire and that intent to learn. So the collaborative facet is growing tremendously. We've also seen, and this was even way before the pandemic, we are also seeing that there's this market change that it has to. And putting that all together, yeah, we still have a long way to go, but the foundation is now already set. People are listening, they understand. There are times when we have to tell the clients no, which is why clients are hearing there's wait times up to 3 to 4 months, right?
Yeah.
And so those gatekeepers are becoming more solid and respectful of the boundaries we were just referring to.
That's great. And it's so nice to hear that leaders, practice managers, you know, the ones in those leadership kind of roles are understanding that, because I remember when I first started practicing and I didn't want to say no because I thought I was going to get in trouble. You know, like if I turned down clients or, you know, I didn't want to upset my boss. I didn't want to get fired. You know, like I'm supposed to see everything that walks through the door. What are your thoughts with that?
Well, who aren't we all like that, right?
Yeah.
It's like we've been programmed to do the best. That's how we get into vet school. We always want to get that A. We want to get the extra credit. And so what do? We're designed as the veterinary profession to do the best and to impress. Do your best, impress, do your best, impress. And with that, it becomes a habit, which is the most dangerous and self-destructive habit at times. Sure, we all have our mountains that we want to climb and we're excited about what opportunities can we fulfill, and we have our goals. I want to be a VTS, I want to go to specialty, I've got to get that residency, or I really want to help this particular patient because it's like it's that challenge. Yeah. The problem is that it is self-damaging, and we're inflicting massive wounds until we learn, again, back to those boundaries of establishing, no, you can't do it all. And what is your primary goal?
And even with boundaries at home too, in your personal life, I think you learn to, because I mean, there's so many buckets that that you have to fill, but then at the same time, your tank is running empty when as a mom, as a dad, as a best friend, you know, whatever it is, as a caregiver, you know, we're taking care of maybe our parents, our significant others, and they just want a little piece of me to go there and there. I mean, we can't undergo mitosis. If we could, that'd be amazing. But like that has got to wear on us as well, right?
And we're all different. We have a different threshold. Some of us actually need more people around us to get that excited, whether it's going out after work or whether it's going running or whichever with a group, or it's that solitary moment to say, no, I just need to read a book right now. I need to take that hot bath. I need to go work out. I need to just take a walk. I need to take a nap, watch a movie, whatever. Yeah. And everyone is different. The problem comes when we don't know how to translate and tell people what our needs are. That's where the disjunct is. And when people will get angry with you because, well, you did it before. Well, we may have made dinner and gone to the group before because we felt compelled to. We had to, once again, alluding to that's our responsibility.
Right.
And that turns into a habit for others around us, our environment. Well, who's the person to ask if you need to get something done? Do you know this one?
No.
The busiest person.
Busy, right.
Because they're the ones that work and get things done.
Yeah.
So we've now established that character, that descriptive of, yeah, the busy person. Let's give them more. And the busy person, again, in their mindset is programmed, hey, I need to do this. I can do this because I'm programmed to impress, do my best, right? How many of us are like that? I think a lot of us, probably the majority in veterinary medicine is like this.
Yes.
And for us to then be able to communicate ahead of time, develop those expectations. So then that sharp no doesn't jar the other party. And it's expected. It's like, no, because do you remember when we talked about this before? I asked you, would you rather get this lab test done or would you rather have me write the prescription and get the prescription ready for Mrs. Smith? Mm-hmm. And now the other party can rejar their memory, hopefully, saying, oh, that's right. We did decide during those conversations that the prescriptions are number one because the client is involved. Or if there's a deviation from whatever that was, it now becomes the responsibility of the ASCOR to say why they want to change that priority. So now it becomes their fault, not your fault. And your guilt is gone. It works beautiful.
Yeah, that really does. I like that a lot. You know, I've been in practices too, where I see, and I think this is, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, but there are technicians and even doctors, sometimes we just don't even have our own boundaries when we have like a break, you know, and I feel like we're all guilty as charged. We're like, oh, can you just hold this dog for like 2 seconds? And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, they're in surgery on a pio, right? And like, there goes their break. I'm noticing a lot more staff members are going into their car because we're like kind of used to curbside as it is. And I think that it's actually a good thing that they can decompress and turn it off for whatever many minutes and time that they have allotted. That's their time. What are your thoughts on that? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing that we've resorted to certain ways of like kind of just turning it off for a little bit and coming back on? Curious to get your thoughts.
It's a great question, Adam. Because it is a two-parter. It goes with the recipient and the giver. Okay. So again, there's the person, the doctor, the technician that's needing to escape and go into the car. And that is a good thing because they have empowered themselves to take care of them. That well-being, that self-worth, that rejuvenation, whether it's even just three breaths, it doesn't matter. But for the fact that they have empowered themselves to step out of the situation, go to somewhere that they feel comfortable in, is like, it's yay. I'm always so happy when they do that. And everyone does that differently too. We said what their comfort level is. Some say, I'm going to lunch, to the break room. I'm going to my car. I'm going to the bathroom. Where is that respite spot? And that's what is comfortable for them. The second part, though, that to me is still disappointing, is that someone has to leave physically and separate themselves physically to get the respect from the asker before they can actually have a break. Okay. And that's where our work is still needs to be done as well, is teaching the rest of the team to respect those boundaries and to set up in advance, what are some policies and procedures? When someone is at lunch, I mean, it really needs to be a true emergency. Like someone who was already established in the role suddenly fainted for some reason or had an emergency that they had to step out in. And that's why we're pulling that person in. The more prepared we are in structuring our schedules, structuring our tasks, our to-dos, our surgeries, et cetera, phone calls, within the parameters of what we have available, the more success we will have.
Love that. Yes. Yes. A strong yes. Yeah. I love it. Well, this
you get some pom-poms.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like virtual pom-poms cheering for you. This has been fantastic. And to our listeners, Dr. Apica is obviously a very well-seasoned author and speaker too. And she'll be joining us within our conferences in the upcoming months. So you certainly can check her out. But where can the listeners learn more about the Dr. Ingrid Apica?
Ah, thank you so much. LinkedIn, for those of you that are not on LinkedIn, I truly encourage you to set up your profile, be active. It's in a tremendous way to gain that network and get to meet other people and to be noticed. Otherwise, you're welcome to reach out to me, vetmatchpro.com, and you can see everything that we do there, developing the community and building the teams, building people together so that, again, veterinary teams stay together strong.
Yeah, you're doing fantastic work, my friend. I'm so proud of everything you're doing.
Thank you. Can't do it without the community. We're all there for each other.
Absolutely. We need it. So thank you so much, Dr. Ingrid Apica, for being on the show. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Stay safe out there and take a break for yourself. Right, Dr. Apica?
Absolutely. Here's to you.
You got it. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.